Well, this is it. Our last time for a little while. Don't worry, I'll come back to James at some point. But it's our last time for a little while in the book of James. We're going to talk about healing. As we've been on this journey of true faith together, what it is to have a true faith that drives us, what it is to experience and exhibit true religion, which is faith poured out into action. We've learned an awful lot. I have, and I hope you have. And today we're going to be looking, if you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to James 5, 13 through 20, as I share a little bit about what we're looking at. James takes a little bit of a pivot here, where the book has been filled with theological foundation, exhortation, especially in the areas of trials and temptation, and how we should act, taken largely from the Sermon on the Mount from James's own brother Jesus. On the surface, this almost seems like a little bit of a change in the book, a little bit of change of topic, a little bit of change in tone for the author of this letter to dispersed Christians that were being persecuted and oppressed and far from home. But yet this is really at the core of true faith and true religion. James chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. State this. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. And if they've sinned, they'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Lord, help us today to understand what it is you have for us through your word. So James opens here, going back to the theme that kind of opened this, is any one of you in trouble? Is anyone suffering? Is anyone going through a trial? Our first response should be to pray. Then he says, is anybody in the church, is anyone in the body of believers cheerful, experiencing joy or happiness, singing praises, songs of prayer, of thanksgiving to God? Is anyone sick? Pray. Call the elders. Call the righteous men and women of the church together to pray, to lay hands, to anoint with oil, symbolic of the Holy Spirit, for healing of the body and of the soul. Our first thought, James says, should be to go to God with every single thing. It's like this, like if I'm in trouble, the first person I'm going to call in my life is the person I love most. Literally, when something bad is happening, I call up Alyssa before I call up just about anybody else. When I'm having a great day, I call up Alyssa and I tell her I'm having a great day and I tell her what good things are going on. And she does that with me and it's absolutely wonderful. Because she's my first love, the person who's most important to me. It's not my folks, it's not my kids, it's my wife. And if I'm sick, as I was yesterday, very, very unwell at home, I told Alyssa, I don't feel good. And James is saying we should have that type of relationship with our Heavenly Father who loves us very, very much. That in all things, he is to be the first and foremost. Listen, if you're having a bad day, if you're going through a hard time, turn to him and just say, Lord, I'm really struggling with this. If you're having a great day, sing songs of praises and joy to the Heavenly Father who loves you, who's given you those good times. And if you're sick, call together the people that you know are in right relationship to join you in asking the Heavenly Father who loves you, that you go to, that's on your mind, to help you, to care for you, to demonstrate his love for you in action. And he will do it. Jesus needs to be our first love. James is calling us back to our first love. The one who loved us before time began, the one who will love us after time has ended, the one who gave his life for us. And as we look at what that is, we've sung songs this morning about seeking God. We've sung songs this morning about the work of Christ in our lives. And today we need to explore that the love of God doesn't just stop at the forgiveness of sin, but extends into the people who have right relationship with him, who confess their sins, receive the power that was in Christ while he was on this earth doing miracles. That power does not stop at the forgiveness of sins, but extends to every area of our lives. And we can have and hold and carry with us that power, that Holy Spirit of God with us every day, everywhere we go, in everything we do. And that's what James is really calling us here to. What does he say in verse 15? The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. It's the power of God. And if they've sinned, they'll be forgiven. See, sometimes as we talk about this idea of healing and going to God, because it's important that we do when we're struggling and when we're suffering and when there's pains in the body, that we do, we go to God, because we saw Jesus in the New Testament having power to heal bodies. We see the apostles with power to pray, heal the sick, bring back to life the dead. We need to go to him and trust him that he can do these things. But sometimes we get caught up with the physical. And that's why I love that James calls out pray and sin several times. If you were to do a word count, you'd see our sins will be forgiven, because sometimes people thought in the old ancient world that sin caused illness. The apostles were walking with Jesus and they saw a man who was blind. And they asked him, Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he's afflicted? And Jesus looked at them and I can only imagine rubbed his temples. No, that's not what caused that. Being as loving and tender and gentle as our Savior could be in that moment, which is certainly far more than I would have been capable of, but looked at them and said, no, that's not what caused it. That wasn't sin that caused it. But then what did he do? He prayed for the man. The man was healed and his sins were forgiven. Some sins, some physical ailments don't come from sin, but there are some that do. It's important we confront that idea right now in earnest. There are some of the physical ailments that are really symptoms of the greater spiritual issues that we're facing in our lives and in our hearts. Stress and worry that are sin. Stress and worry that come from sin that we're trying to hide, that we're trying to cover up, that are eating away at us because we're living with the consequences of it. Addictions. If you're like me, maybe you struggle with anger from time to time. There are a lot of things in our lives that we need to confess to God and go to Him and confess to one another, because the reason James says this is not because we need to air our dirty laundry in public all the time. Believe me, you don't have to tell everybody everything. You're allowed some privacy in your life. You're allowed some privacy in the church. Okay, folks, take some. Can I get an amen on that one? Amen. But you cannot, if you want God to work in your life, have privacy from God. God doesn't kick down walls. God doesn't bust through doors. What does Jesus do? He stands at the door and He knocks. If you open, He'll come in. And He'll go to every room that you have open to Him. But if you put up a wall, He will respect your decision. And if you tear down that wall and give Him access, He will. But what about the walls that we're having trouble tearing down? Because I really want to talk about that for a second, because sometimes we get caught up in things for so long. And I'll tell you, this is something in my life. I wasn't kidding. That wasn't a light statement about anger that I made. I want you to really understand there are some walls that we try and tear down, but they keep coming back up. Some sins that we try and get away from. For me, anger is a big one. Not that always getting angry is a sin, but anger is not healthy in the long term. And rarely does anything good come from it. And it's the actions, the snapping, the carrying on that comes from anger that is the sin. And just to be totally transparent and confess, is something I struggle with. And I'm reading books and seeking God in prayer and meditation. How do I overcome this? And I feel like the man who came to Jesus and said, Lord, my son is sick. If you can heal him, will you do it? And Jesus looked at him and said, if? What do you mean, if? Don't you believe that I can heal? And he said, yes, I do believe. Help me with my unbelief. You ever feel like that? Do you have anything in your life that you're trying, you're struggling with, that you're asking God, God, I have this thing that needs to change and I'm trying, it's not doing it. Help me break down this barrier between us. Long-lasting pain. Something from childhood. A recurring sin, a habitual sin that you're trying to break the chains of. You are not alone. 1 John 1:9 tells us this. When we confess our sins to God, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not just partial unrighteousness, all of it. Any unrighteousness that you might think lingers from that sin, you're wrong. It's gone. It's out of there. It has been cleansed and cleaned by God Almighty. And for some of us, we're already feeling like we're there. And for some of us, we're hearing this and going, okay, maybe there's something here that I need to deal with God on. And that God is dealing with me over. James tells us, in light of seeking healing, and healing being an opportunity for the forgiveness of sins, and the forgiveness of sins being an opportunity to bring healing, that God, when we confess, we're opening up, is really what's happening. We're opening up our lives to Him. We're opening up our hearts to Him. We're opening up ourselves to Him and saying, Lord, okay, here's this thing that I need Your help with. And it's giving Him room to act and for the power of Christ to come in and act. James tells us to confess your sins to each other and pray that you may be healed from the physical and the spiritual ailments. And the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. In some versions it says, is highly effective in results. Some versions say, availeth much, whatever your preference is. The truth is, for those of us who have confessed, for those of us who have been made righteous, our prayers are powerful and effective. Do you hear and understand that today? Do you really know that the power that lived in Christ, that gave him the power to heal, lives in you? If you have confessed, if you are righteous, and if you confess at any point, Christ makes you righteous, and you have full access to him. He gives all of himself at once. We might not give all of ourselves back to him, but when you do, you have full access to who he is that is in his word. And for some of us, it's easy to hear that, and it doesn't necessarily go in one ear and right out the other. Maybe it rattles around a little bit before exiting. But we don't really live in that power, and that's why James brings this up in this letter on true faith. And he almost anticipating this, the idea that we're really going to struggle with, can I really have powerful, meaningful prayers? Like, are my prayers really going to be effective? He says this, Elijah, potentially the greatest, most popular, certainly, prophet, would have been well known, had very powerful and effective prayers. Some kids were making fun of him, and he prayed a curse over them, and bears came out and mauled them. That's powerful prayer right there. You can control bears with your prayers. He faced off against some cultists who worshipped a false god that challenged him. And God lit on fire, because of prayer, a bunch of waterlogged logs. It created fire where there was water that burned up everything, including the water. Amazing things, healings. So what does James say in verse 17? Can we get this up on the wall? Thank you. Elijah was a human being even as we are. Some versions say, in nature, a mere man. I want us to just stop there before we read any further. Elijah, who had these powerful prayers, like Moses, who did these powerful and wonderful things, like King David, who did powerful and wonderful things, that was a man after God's own heart. It's easy to look at the people in Scripture, like Peter and Paul and James and John, and go, oh, yeah, but these were, they walked with Jesus. Oh, but they really, they were just something else. No, they weren't. James is saying, no, they weren't. They're just like you and me. People, Elijah was a human being just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And so it didn't rain on the land for 3.5 years. 18, again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. What made Elijah special? He was a human just like you and me, just like you while you're sitting there. Elijah was born just like you. Elijah lived just in human nature like you. Moses even told God, I don't want to do it. Just like you have at some point in your life, if we're really honest, we've all told God at some point, I want to do my own thing. I don't want to deal with this. This is bigger than I really feel like handling. No, thank you. God used Moses. God used Elijah. God used the apostles. Peter the rock on which his church was formed. Paul, the most prolific author in the New Testament, were mere men. Just like you and me. And the promise that they saw fulfilled in their lives is the same one that you and I can see fulfilled in our lives when we confess to God our sins. He makes us righteous, and He gives us the power of His Holy Spirit in us to overcome. Somebody be excited about that today. And on this theme, this seems at the surface interesting that James would finish out his letter with this. But if we want to talk about the power of Christ, what is the power of Christ? The power of Christ to save, to redeem, to save from death, to cover over sin. What has Christ done for you? Has He covered over every sin you've confessed? Has He bought you righteousness before God with His blood? Has He saved you from death? James says this in verse 19, brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth, almost as if he knows, the guy who opened with talking about the troubles of trials and temptations knows that we are going to face some things and be tempted and be tried, and we might walk away. He doesn't sit here condemning. What's he say? If one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Doesn't that sound like Jesus? Doesn't that sound like the work of Christ? Going to your brothers and sisters who have fallen, offering redemption and peace and help and hope and calling them back. And by the Spirit that lived in Christ, we can save from death because of the power of the Holy Spirit, because of the righteousness imparted to us from Christ as we are made new. And see, covered over a multitude of sins. And so my question to you, because there's no weekly challenge this week. My challenge is a right now challenge. Where are you? What do you need? Do you need a moment to confess to God? Do you need a moment to come to Him for healing from a physical ailment or a spiritual ailment? Is there something going on in your body? Something going on in your heart? Something going on with your mind that you need to bring to Him and find anointing and healing for? Because we're going to take a minute and we're going to do that today. And I'm going to offer the opportunity. If you need physical healing and you believe that God is saying today, come and ask. And in a moment, we're going to sing and you can come forward. Take a moment to do what the Scripture says. Confess. See if there's anything that you need to allow space for God to work fully in your life. That includes in your body. Are you struggling with something that's keeping you in bondage? I'm just going to get very real with you guys here. Guys, even some of the girls, maybe it's lust. Maybe it's greed. Maybe it's envy. Maybe it's a frustration that's lingering over something that has not been resolved, but you need peace for. What is it? What is in your life? Is there anything that you need healing from? That you need God to break your bondage, the chains that are holding you down? Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's a situation from your past that's cropped up, and you need God to protect you from some of the consequences, or at least strengthen you if you have to face those consequences. Do you have something in your life that needs to be healed? Today, as we sing, we'll seek God, confess. These are the things that are holding me from you. Because sometimes, just to kind of make sure that we're level set here, sometimes with physical healing, God says no. Or he says not right now. We've experienced that in my own home. We've prayed for healing and God has said, not now, but don't stop asking. Jesus tells a parable of a woman who went before a judge and kept praying until he finally got so fed up with her bothering him, he changed his mind. And if our earthly judges can be like that, imagine what our Heavenly Father, who actually loves us, can be like if we keep praying and asking him. So if you've asked before and it hasn't happened, don't stop asking. But if it doesn't happen when you ask, be like Paul, who had a thorn in his flesh and he prayed 3 times, which was just ancient talk for, I've prayed for this repeatedly. And God says, my grace is sufficient, I will sustain you. And trusted that one day it would be healed in heaven. Either on earth, God would honor that and say, okay, yes, I'll heal you now, or it would be healed one day. But there is a prayer that God always heals, that he always says yes to. Lord, there is something between us, and I need that bondage broken. He never says no to that. If you are going to commit to walk with him daily, not a temporary fix, but a permanent lifestyle choice of seeking him, he will always say yes every moment of every day to that prayer. And maybe you just are having trouble with faith, with knowing that God can fill you with his Holy Spirit to give you the saving power of Christ. Because guess what, folks? That needs to be confessed to. Just like the man who said, help me with my unbelief. Yes, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. Because there is no shame in having the faith you have. There is always room for more. And God loves to give faith. He loves to give to us. He loves to heal us. Because he loves us. So in a moment, I'm going to go ahead and have the worship team come back up this morning. We're going to sing the song, Holy Spirit. Not because we need to sing, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here, and invite the Holy Spirit to come. Holy Spirit's going to do what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Holy Spirit's going to move where the Holy Spirit's going to move. But the Holy Spirit can't move where we're unwilling, where we're saying no. So as we sing, if you can sing and meditate at the same time on what it is the Lord has for you, what is your need, then great, do it. If you cannot, I would rather you speak to God in your heart than sing aloud for the sake of singing aloud. This is a moment to seek God to honestly, earnestly humble our hearts and pray that the Spirit that lived in Jesus Christ would live fully in us. Worship team, come on up. And folks, as we do, if you sense that there is something that you want anointing over, we've talked about it a little bit before, the anointing is, of course, with oil symbolic of the Holy Spirit. but it is powerful. It is the step of faith that enables God to act. So if you need to take a step of faith, I encourage you today to take a literal step of faith and come to the altar. And we will have, at the end of this song, we'll have a quiet time of confession and anointing. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you, if you want to stand as we sing, you stand. If you want to sit, if you want to kneel, if you need to lay down, whatever you need to do to be right with Jesus in this moment is what you need to be doing. Now let's sing and seek together.
There's nothing worth more that would ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Lord. fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
As we go to pray, if you're at the altar, if you need healing, there's still time to come down, to kneel at the altar, to sit in the front row. If you have a friend, a family member, a brother, a sister in Christ that you want to come pray with, come now. As we lift one another up. And I want to encourage you, if you have somebody in your life that you want to intercede for and receive an anointing for that is not here, that needs healing, a family member, a friend who needs physical healing or who needs spiritual healing, who needs the touch of Christ in their life, you can also come and be their proxy and intercede for them. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we love you. We acknowledge you as King. We acknowledge you as the powerful one. You hold glory and power. They are yours forever and ever. We thank you for the faith to believe in you, to step out and trust in you. Amen.